Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. A couple things to think about this morning. So what did Adam say to his wife the day before Christmas? It's finally Christmas, Eve. What is every parent's favorite Christmas carol? Silent Night. What's the difference between a Christmas alphabet and a regular alphabet? The Christmas alphabet has no L. That's right. Amen. See, you guys weren't that bad. Good job. And I know you say boo, but you'll be telling them at the water cooler next week at work. Amen. This morning I want to talk about the light of life. Jesus himself. Some of my favorite things about my favorite time of the year, Christmas, are the beautiful Christmas lights. And the greatest thing about Christmas is the light, the true light, Jesus Christ. Let's start reading in John chapter 1, starting right at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Jesus, the light of life, the light of the world. We think about this world, and it is absolutely covered in darkness, ruled by the prince of darkness himself, Satan. It's overrun by the darkness of deception, the darkness of humanism, and just pure evil around every corner. But praise God, there is light, and that light has come into this world. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The Bible says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 78 and 79 says, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke chapter 2, one more chapter to the right, verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, that is, the promised Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the faces of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus Christ, the light of life. First thing I want us to see about Christ is that his light is pure. Verse 10 in John chapter 1 tells us that he was in the world, and the world was made through him, but but the world did not know him. In our natural world, there is nothing more pure than that of sunlight. One thing about light is that light can never be defiled. Light can never be spoiled. No matter what it passes through or what it falls upon, light cannot be corrupted. It can fall upon the most vile disease. It can fall upon the most vile object or being. But that corruption can never be transferred to that light. It's pure. We think about light, and that light can expose those harmful things. That light can expose those defiling things, but it cannot be touched by them. This is not so. We think about water. We think about snow, wind, etc. All those other elements can be touched. They can be defiled by those vile things, but not light. Light is pure. And light is a perfect symbol of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only the true light, but he is also the source of all light. The Bible makes it very clear here that all things were made by him and through him. Everything that was ever made was made by him. And that includes light. Jesus, as the light of this world, he exposed our sins. But he himself was never contaminated. He was never touched by those same sins. Jesus could touch sinners, but sin could never touch him. He is pure, he is undefiled, and the Bible makes it very clear in him is no darkness at all. No shadow whatsoever. Jesus was in this world, but he was not of this world. He was the pure light sent into the darkness of this world. Amen. Second thing I want us to see about Christ, not only is his light pure, but his light is constant. A main attribute of light is that it's constant. In verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We need to understand without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Almighty God in the flesh, God incarnate, Emmanuel. He is Almighty God and he cannot change. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I change not." He is 100% immutable. The book of James, chapter 1. Verse 17 tells us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." That means that God never changes. He is immutable. And as I said, light is that perfect symbol of Jesus Christ because light is the same. It's constant and it never changes. Albert Einstein, brilliant, brilliant scientist. He discovered the theory of relativity. Anybody remember what that is? Hint. E equals mc squared, right? Theory of relativity. E energy, the energy of any object, equals its mass times c, the speed of light, squared. Theory of relativity. E energy in ergs equals mass in grams times c, the velocity of light in centimeters per second squared. That is Einstein's theory of relativity. Now, Einstein declared that the reason that he was able to understand and figure out the theory of relativity was because there was only one thing in this world that does not change. What is that? Light. Or more importantly, in his theory, the speed of light. Speed of light never, ever changes. Anyone remember from science class what the speed of light is? 186,000 miles per hour. That's right. That's good, Harley. That's been a while you were in school, isn't it? That's great. It's actually 186,000 miles per second. It's incredible. 186,000. It's the only constant in the physical realm, in our natural realm. Think about that. Then we think about the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, Christ is that constant. Amen? Let me give you an example. If I were driving at 50 miles per hour, because I always drive the speed limit, and Brother John, he drove by me doing 60 because he has a heavy foot. He was traveling at 10 miles per hour relative to my speed. I was doing 50, he was doing 60, so he would be traveling at 10 miles per hour relative to my speed. If I were traveling 50 miles per hour going north, and John was traveling at 50 miles per hour going south, the moment that we passed each other, our relative speed would be what? 100 miles per hour. We're going in opposite directions at the same speed, 50 and 50. Our relative speed would be 100 miles per hour. But I want you to think about something. If I were traveling north at the speed of light, and Brother John was traveling south at the speed of light, the relative speed does not double with light. Why? Because the speed of light is what? Constant. Unchanging. What changes at that point is not speed, but time. Amen? Don't get confused. We're not going too deep. Just understand that light does not change. Speed doesn't change at that point, but time does. As you get closer to the speed of light, time slows down. When you achieve the speed of light, guess what happens? Time stands still. I want you to think about that for a moment. Time stands still. One day, as a born-again believer, the Bible tells us that we also are going to achieve the speed of light. Jesus is light. He is that pure light, the source of all light. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible tells us that one day we shall be like him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, skip down to verses 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery in the Bible simply means something that wasn't known before. This was a spiritual truth that had never been discovered. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning die in Christ, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want to point something out here this morning. That twinkling of an eye, how fast do you think that is? I want to propose it's as fast as the speed of light. Time will then stand still as we enter into eternity. The Bible makes it very clear that God has no beginning, He has no end. Time has no bearing with God. And the Bible tells us that one day, when we are raptured into heaven, when we are taken up into heaven, we will be like Him. Which means for us, guess what's going to stand still as well? Time. In that moment, in the twinkling of that eye, we will be changed and time will stand still for eternity for us. Amen. In a world full of change, in a world full of uncertainty, how sweet is it to know the very one who never changes. Amen. Jesus Christ, our pure light, who is constant. Hebrews 13:8 declares that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Plain and simple. His pure light is constant. Jesus is never surprised. He's never anxious. He's never nervous. There is no panic in heaven ever. Amen. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in the middle. You know, there's many things that surprise us in our walk of life, but not our Lord. He has our path already made out for us. He has our purpose set aside. There is no shadow of turning in our Lord. Number three, third thing I want us to see about Christ. Not only is he pure, not only is he constant, but his light is victory. Going back to our text in John chapter 1. Skip down to verse 3. The Bible says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word comprehend literally means cannot overcome it, cannot put it out, cannot extinguish it. So it should read, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not extinguish that light. Amen. This is talking about the victory of the light of Christ. In Christ is victory. This is that epic battle between light and darkness. Any Star Wars fans out there? What movie just came out? It's like number 20 in the series, right? But what is Star Wars all about? It's that battle between what? The dark side and the light side. This is the epic battle between light and darkness. Lucifer, whose name means light bearer. When God created Lucifer, the most beautiful angel ever created, his name Lucifer literally means light bearer. But one day he turned against holy God. And now he's no longer the son of the morning, but he is Satan, the father of the night. And in the end, darkness has absolutely no power over light. Amen? When you go into a dark room, how do you get the darkness out? Turn on what? Turn on the light. Amen? You turn on the light. It's totally powerless. That darkness, it doesn't matter how dark that room is, no windows, no crevices, no cracks for light to get in. It doesn't matter how dark that room is. Soon as you flip on the light, what happens to the darkness? It flees. It's gone. Totally powerless against the light. We think of our beautiful sun. That sun is so bright that we can't even stare directly into it without hurting our eyes. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We need to understand our sun is not even close. It's not even a tiny fraction to the glory of the light of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 6, skip down to verse 14. That we should keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. He is our blessed and only potentate. And that word potentate just literally means the head of rulers, the ruler of rulers. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Let me tell you something. We put a man on the moon, but we will never put a man on the sun. Amen. And that sun is just a fraction of the glory of our Lord and Savior. You know, sometimes I hear people say that, you know, on a rainy and a cloudy day, full of rain and just overcast, We hear people say that the sun just didn't shine today. That's never a true statement, is it? You ever been in an airplane? You know that you can just go above what? Just go above those clouds and what's up there. That sun is always shining. You see, you can block out light, but you can never put it out. We need to stop worrying about the power of darkness, and we need to start walking in the victory of the pure light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Fourth thing I want us to see about Christ. His light is vitality. Go back to John 1, in verse 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's talking about the vitality of the life. Life and light are interchangeable. They are interwoven. You cannot have life without light, nor light without life. During creation, when God wanted to bring light into this world, He wanted to bring light onto the chaos. What did He do? He said, "Let there be light." Amen. Let there be light. He sent light into the darkness of the deep. Remove light from the world, and what happens? It becomes cold, dark, and without life. This world cannot sustain life without light. Everything on it would die. And we need to understand the same is true for all of mankind. Remove the light of Jesus Christ, and we become cold, dark, and spiritually dead. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you want to put your life back together, you need to get into the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus declared that I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Amen. Jesus came not only to give us the promise of eternal life, but He wants our life now, today, to be an abundant life. Amen. Fifth thing about Christ. His light is also full of glory. Skip down to verse 14 in our text. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is God's glory? Think about that. We hear of God's glory all the time. It's in our scriptures. But God's glory is literally the outshining of the light of His grace and truth. All right, going back to science class. How many colors are there in the rainbow? 7, right? Roy G. Biv. Everybody remember Roy G. Biv? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. 7. How many colors are in the spectrum of light? 7. What does the number 7 represent? Remember, numbers in the Bible are not insignificant. Number 7 represents completeness or perfection. Jesus is that perfect picture of pure light. Put all 7 colors together, and what do you get? You get pure white. Amen? Did you know that? If you put all those 7 colors of the rainbow together, you get pure light, the 7 colors of the spectrum. Why? Because color comes from light, not the object. Amen? See, you didn't know you were coming to science class this morning, did you? The light of Jesus Christ not only colors life, but gives life. His light makes everything glorious. It makes everything better. He makes everything beautiful in His time. My heart goes out to those struggling, stumbling through life who have never seen the light of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your heart is burdened for them too. They've never seen the light of Christ. They've never experienced its warmth, its love, its peace. Amazing and glorious things that they haven't experienced or they haven't seen apart from the light of Jesus Christ. So many simply don't find him because they're just not looking. More and more people today, you try to share the gospel with them, they don't even want to hear it. They shut you down immediately. And they wander through life blind, empty, void, and all alone. But praise God, it doesn't have to be that way for me. Light came pouring down into this dark world. Jesus came to Bethlehem, that beautiful star of Bethlehem, to give light and life to all who will receive it.